Whenever I look at a genius, I am looking at myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Whenever I look at a genius, I am looking at myself. Well, last week we've had a guest here from Accra in Ghana in West Africa, and he was the most amazing man, Sam Sassou. And he presented us with all sorts of new ways of looking at things and new ways looking at him and at ourselves. And it all proved to be very beneficial because we realized that if we allow a person to be themselves, many wonderful things shine forth. Whenever I look at a genius, I'm looking at myself. So that might be rephrased. I look at all beings as a genius because I'm looking at myself. So Sam was a genius, or is a genius. And Sylvia is a genius. And Ellen is a genius. And Ingeborg is a genius. Now, why am I making such an interesting fuss over that? Well, we had the phrase, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, as though it were some tedious thing that we have to work with. And that's not the case at all. Let there be peace on earth is the idea of letting it happen by someone else's action. When we say, now there is peace on earth, we have taken responsibility for it. Now, when we say, whenever I look at a genius, I am looking at myself, that's okay. But whenever I look at a fool, I'm looking at myself. But if I say, I always see a genius wherever I go, I always see a genius every time I turn around, I always see a genius every time I look in the mirror, what does that mean? That's not a let. That's not a wishful thinking. That's a realization that it's already done. Is that good? Is that positive? You bet. Is that something everybody wants? You bet. Now, we talked with Ingeborg in Italy right now. She's over in Trieste on her birthday, celebrating it with her former husband. And she's having a ball. Well, now, we asked her a question without giving her a chance to think about it, because Mr. Persolia had needed her to come and visit. He was having a little difficulty. And so we said to her, Ingeborg, how is Mr. Persolia? And she started to say, well, he's fine. He's fine. He's whole and perfect. He's wonderful. He's fantastic. You see, that little instant where we have to be realistic, you know, where we have to say the illusions or the appearances, that can kill you. That can kill you. I mentioned this before. I was teaching Jan how to drive the car, and Jan is a very quick learner and very fast. Everything he does is done very quickly because he's just so alert. He's so brilliant. And I said, Jan, when I tell you to step on the brakes, you step on the brakes. You don't stop and think why. You just step on the brakes. I tell you to stop the car, you stop the car. When I tell you to turn to the right or turn to the left, you just turn to the right or turn to the left without thinking about it. You do it because I tell you, because I'm your teacher. I'm your thought. I'm your mind. I'm your eyes. I'm everything. Yeah, I'm building in you a self-confidence to yourself, because then when you have that thought, I better turn to the right, and you turn to the right and you avoided the problem. You don't know it. You cannot see it out there. It's not written down in words saying, this is a problem. It's something invisible. But when you turn, oh, I was guided to turn, and I missed that situation. I missed that hole in the road, for instance, you know? When we were driving in Nigeria, lots of holes in the road over there, my goodness sakes, because the water undercuts the roads, and the government has not in the past taken care of the roads as much as they could. It would be quite an expensive proposition because it rains there a great deal and the water undercuts the roads a great deal. But nonetheless, people go speeding down the road and boing, they drop into a pothole. And many of them have not come out. That is, they've come out, but they haven't been the same. Another dimension. We have to be very careful. Because when we are learning to listen within, when we are learning to do what goes on within, great things happen. Well, I told Jan, I said, Jan, stop. Jan, stop. Jan, there's a little child on the road. Of course there wasn't a little child on the road. Stop, you know, and he didn't. He said, I don't see any kid. I don't see this. I don't see that. See, he wasn't listening to his intuitive inner self, which was me, because I was his teacher and I was sharing with him being his intuitive inner self. When you listen to that self within you that speaks to you, it gives you all the answers. You know all the things to do. You are driving down the road and you just feel like, I think I'll pull over in this other lane over here for some reason. And you think, well, why? That's a slower lane. It's not going right. And you pull over in the other lane, and then all of a sudden, somebody in the other lane has a flat tire or something and slows down. And so traffic stops almost while they're changing around him. You understand? And you don't know that. But your allness, that within you, that divine within you that knows all things, wants to talk to you and tell you these things and show you these things. And you got to be alert to that. You got to be trained to that. And this is what I was working with Jan on. And since this, he's since gone on to be a great driver. But initially, to learn to listen to me as his inner self, he didn't want to do that. His pride and his self-confidence was just too much to allow that to happen. But subsequently, he became very good at that. Whenever I look at a genius, I'm looking at myself. I'm always looking at geniuses, you know? I'm always looking at geniuses, and I'm always seeing myself. And it's not a matter of when. I'm always looking at every person I see is a genius. Everything I do is the work of a genius. Every place I go, I'm surrounded by geniuses all the time. Wow! And they sometimes get on your nerves, too, because geniuses can sometimes have ideas and awarenesses that you don't see. And you think, why are they doing that? Why are they doing those silly things? Why? Well, you're not listening to their inner self. And you don't realize that they're listening and they're following that inner self. There's the little children who are very adept at adding, you know, doing multiplication and stuff like that in their head. And so many of them we hear about. We don't know them personally, at least I don't, but so many of them you hear about. And then they'll say, okay, what's 2 times that, 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 that? What's the 999 by 674, but the square root of the pi, the coordinates and stuff? I mean, absolutely, you know, way off the beam. And while you're doing with this with the kid is running around the room, and he's smiling, and he's laughing, and he's crying, and he's doing all these things. And you think, well, anything going on there? You know, anything going on there? And as soon as you finish with your problem for him, and have spoken it to him, he, at the instant you stop, he says, 36, or whatever the answer may be. Now, he's been running around the room. He's been seemingly not paying any attention to what you're saying. He's been crying or laughing or whatever, and you think, you know, how could he come up with the answer? But it's a different set of machinery that's going on in his head. It's untouched by anything else. And he has the answer. You see, we don't always know why a person does something. We don't know why a person zigs in the middle of the road and we're right behind them, so we zig too. And there's a part of a tire that came off a great big semi-truck, you know, right in the middle of our lane. And so we don't even intuitively zig. We zig because the person in front of us zigged, and he zigged because the thing was there. Now, what would happen if you didn't know to zig? What if you were just driving along blissfully unaware, and then all of a sudden you zigged like that, and you think to yourself, now why did I do that? Oh, you tune in to your inner self, because you're a genius. You're an absolute genius when you listen to your inner self. And you're an absolute fool when you don't. Because then you do not take advantage. You drive into the hole. You drive into the problem. You just merge right with every problem that exists. But when you know that you're a genius, and when you know that every person you look at is a genius, and every time you look in the mirror you see a genius, when you know that, then life's a lot of fun. Life's a lot of fun. But when you fight that inner awareness, that inner understanding, you feel bad. Not only do you feel bad, but you also don't experience all the greatness that you can be. Whenever I look at a genius, I'm always looking at a genius. No matter who I look at, my dogs, oh, they're geniuses. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to sense, to be aware of things that I haven't even begun to be concerned about. Could I? Could I be aware of everything the dog is aware of? You bet. With Thelma, who was working in UCLA, and she worked with blind people, and not with blind people, she worked with the parapsychology, where the blind people, among others, would come and they couldn't see what they're looking at. And she would put construction paper out in front of them, and that's paper that children have in school, and different colors, red, green, blue, brown, all that. And then she'd have the person put their hand on it, or whatever they wanted to do, and tell her what the color, but what color is this one right here? Blue. What color is this? Red, brown. How'd she know that? And like I told you, there's only two colors that she couldn't describe, remember?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Black and white.
Black and white. Because it does not give off a color. Black is all color and white is all color. So that she couldn't see. But it was just really amazing as she went through this. And she had her seeing eye dog there who walked with her and took care of her. But you see, we have intuitiveness. We have the capacity to do things that we haven't even begun to utilize because we didn't need to. Now, again, a blind person, they're walking along, they don't have their stick handy, and they're in tune. They don't have their stick, so they have to do it with their head. They have to do it with their eyes that see, but they see it in a way that we don't understand. And they know when a tree is in the way. They know when a house is there, or a car is there, or something like that. I walk my morning path in pitch black, and I don't have a flashlight. I walk along, and as I walk along, there are little ruts in the thing from the rain that we've had recently, and I don't see that, and I don't know 12 steps further is a rut, and 9 steps further is another rut. You know, you don't have that in your head, but you do. Not only that, that's one way, but you also have the perceptibility of seeing something you can't see. And so I'm walking along, and I walk perfectly. I walk the 3-mile path, and it's just fantastic. It's just fantastic because I have my moccasins on, and I just feel wonderful. My feet just sort of walk into the path and sort of snuggle on the path. It's a great feeling. Occasionally, I come to a big rock. Whoops, how did that get there? And I throw it off the path. But you see, we have the ability to do things. We have the ability to be a genius. We have the ability to understand things. How do we get that ability trained? As I said with Jan, I said, Jan, I am your inner intuition. Follow what I say. Stop, go, stop, go. And you see, when he would do that a few times, well, he'd be a natural for himself. But so long as you're rebelling against anything giving you information that you don't understand, then you shut it off. You just shut it right straight off. I said last night to you girls after the movie, I said, this person was not very nice, that person did this silly things, that person did these dumb things, that person did those dumb things. And your first intention was to defend. And because you wanted to defend, you got no lesson from it. If you had just said, so be it, you know, so be it. Did you notice that? No, I didn't notice that. So be it, no big deal. But when you fight it, then the opportunity to see it, to be aware of it, is never going to be yours. Because you fight for your limitations and they're yours. Richard Bach said it, and I believe it. No, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, I believe it was, or was it Dallas Simoto? One of his wonderful characters. But the thing is, when we fight for our limitations, we just make it ours all the more surely. But if we have the humility To know that within us is a divine source of wisdom is wisdom itself, and we live that wisdom. Now, at the moment, that wisdom may be called mommy, training us to listen within, to believe in ourselves. It might be daddy. It might be teacher. It might be guru. It might be whoever you wish him to be or it to be. But you have that. And if you have humility toward yourself in being open and aware, then you will indeed see the genius in everyone who is that is within you. You will see the genius that the whole world is, and it's mighty wonderful. But if you rebel, I like rebelling students because they always turn out to be my best students, but if you rebel and are objectionable to what's being taught to you, you make the trip a heck of a lot longer. You know that? A whole lot longer. It's not that you know, you're not going to be fabulous, not that you are, you know, you have to go through that, but you shouldn't rebel, but it's like saying, I won't. And so you don't. And then the day comes along, you say, okay, I'll try surfboarding. And you get out there and say, wow, I should have done this years ago. Starting to learn to surfboard at 95 is a little bit stupid. I could have been doing this all my life, having a ball, you know. And, you know, another illustration of that. Think of this. How many people do you know, not too many, but how many people do you know who don't like to fly in airlines? They have a fear of flying in airlines. And they don't mind flying in smaller planes. They don't mind flying in something else. It's not against flying, just against airlines, because they think airlines crash and stuff like that, which is the silliest thing in the world. But the point is, when they rebel, they cut themselves off from that mode of transportation. They cut themselves off from the ability to travel from here to Santa Cruz and San Jose in 1 hour, you know? And it takes many hours to drive it. How convenient that is, how wonderful. But if you didn't fly, you know what would happen? You'd have to take a train or a bus or a car. And that's far more dangerous. And some people, they don't want to fly, so they take a boat. It takes several weeks on a boat. And on an airplane, it just takes like overnight, you know? It's unbelievable. But wonderful things are available to us if we are unafraid. If we will just flow with whatever life has to offer us. Yes, you're a genius. I'm a genius. All the world is a genius. Sometimes we're a genius at saying we're not a genius, but that's silly. We should always be a genius at saying we're a genius. And then we describe that as a good genius, as a thoughtful genius, as a loving genius, as one that we enjoy being in the company of, and that's great. Are you ready for that? I sure am. I love it. I always see a genius because I'm always looking at myself. Have a lovely day. I love you. I love you. I love you.